Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Right? How many have the nerve and the audacity to call speaking in tongues of the devil? How dare you? And how dare they stand there and say the Holy Trinity is the holy thing, and you are Antichrist if you speak out against the Trinity. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink. Oh, we've mingled up with the drink, all right. We're right into the devil's, right up to our eyeballs. We don't even need alcohol anymore. We got the spirits pure. Verse 23 would justify the wicked for reward, to take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and the blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, as the Lord, anger of the Lord kindled against his people. And he stretched forth his hand against them and had smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. If God spared not the Jews from judgment, be careful that he spare not you from the sure judgment that's going to come, if you do not turn from your wicked ways. Romans 11. There is a deep arrogance. There is a very deep arrogance. Romans 11, verse 20 to 21. Hey, 22.
Man, let's just read.
Well, Joyce, because of the Lord, he leads us and guides us, and thou standest us on that path, we will bless others in Jesus' name, for the Lamb of God is
God
great,
not spared,
and greatly to be
God
worshipped and praised, if we lift up our hearts unto thee, Lord Jesus, as we rejoice in the goodness
behold,
of thy
therefore,
word, and
the
of thy
goodness,
salvation,
of God,
and
Lord
which fell severity,
and mighty
toward
is the
thee,
Lord
goodness,
our God,
our Redeemer, our Holy One,
the Lord Jesus is his name, the Captain of the
Amen. Jesus said one thing was really important, which really sticks out right now. When the apostles were asking him, Lord, when shall these things be? When Jesus said, there will not be one stone left upon another. And he said something that's really unique, is really befitting right now. And he said to them, until the times of the Gentiles be at an end. In other words, he said the judgment that was coming on the Jews, when the time of the Gentiles would be at an end, would he put his hand to his people. We are in the transition place. We brought upon ourselves the very, very, very thing that the Jews brought upon themselves. Just forget about it.
And yea, saith God, thou knowest that those things which thou hast learned, thou hast
and now we have
yea,
a judgment
God,
that is coming upon
the
Gentiles.
The shall I not lead thee unto the place that I would have for thee to go, which is my will and my purpose for thee?
The times
surely
of the Gentiles
God,
are at an end.
And
if they're at an end,
I shall work those things.
What is
going
to happen to us?
And yea, saith God, I shall mold thee and shape thee and fashion thee.
There is an arrogance amongst the people of God. They don't think this will ever happen. They think everything is going like so. We turn on and we see just the same as Martin Luther's day. We see way back in the Apostles' day. All the stuff that is going on, all the stuff, all into Baalism and all the other things. And we're saying, oh, it's everything is just sweet and everything is rosy. We're all really united. We're all walking hand in hand down the road now. Well, I think we're supposed to be united with God's Word. You know, if you unite flesh with flesh, you still got flesh.
Gone through many trials and tribulations. Though it seemeth unto thee to be failure.
We're still doing contrary to his word. He says, worship him in spirit, we worship him in the flesh. He says, worship one Lord, we have three. He says, walk in his gifts, they find their own gifts. Opposite to the word. He says, do his works, they come up with their own works. Right down to their own miracles, signs, and lying wonders. Until the Lord says, I've had enough.
But
there's no remedy but the past judgment.
For my purposes,
when there's no remedy, means
And that thou shalt
there's nothing left for him to do. He's done everything possible to bring his people back, and they won't listen.
These are the trials of your faith, and these are the determinings of that
what's
which
next?
I shall work.
Well, he says, I got maybe one more.
Character,
I'll pass judgment
the
on him,
Jesus Christ, that is
and he'll put the church on its knees,
God,
big time.
Do
you know that North America has never had a real move yet?
And as the ways that the
I've
Lord
seen
that
every
God
other country in so many other places. I'll say Western civilization, I'm talking about some of Europe too, has never experienced the moves like the other places. And everybody's saying, our turn is coming. Yes, our turn is coming.
Because I shall make thee able. And
look at Africa and what it went through.
Do walk in those things that I have
and oh, they're really happy now they got the gospel.
And the place where
I would be too.
And thou shalt
after coming through
thou
that hell.
Done
I look at the Soviet Union.
And hath accomplished
and I look at that hell that those people went through. They're coming to the gospel.
Show it unto thee, and it shall be
I look at third world countries and I say,
amen.
You know what?
Glory be to the Lord. Let us rejoice in him. Blessed
what
is the Lord our God, greatly to be praised and worshipped art thou, Lord. Surely the Lord is great and he is mighty. And he is our God, our Redeemer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name as we lift up our hearts and our voices unto thee, Lord Jesus. For thou art a great and a mighty God. Amen. If you won't take the remedy to cure you, and make you healthy again, then you're going to seal your own fate. And I think we should pay attention. Because it's going to be upon our own head. Turn me to Acts chapter 7. It's our final one.
But I am not that far faith, the Lord, that I do not reach out to thee. For thou hast shown me mine faith, the Lord, and thou shalt touch each other with thine heart.
I think we really got to seek the Lord. I think we really got to put away those things that are offensive, and we know. You know, we give it, oh, I've been kind of, oh, I'm going to, I'll do it. Well, you know, I'll get to it. And well, you know, I'll, no, start dealing with it now. Don't wait for next week. Don't wait for tomorrow. You start doing with your stuff now. You start dealing with the things now because Christ wants us now. He don't want us next week. Deal with those issues. Get your heart right into the things. And just don't think, well, I walk in all the doctrines of God, and I walk in all the truth, and I'm like so. Well, you better get looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, am I doing everything right, or am I doing everything wrong? And what am I really like here? And how is my attitude? Am I arrogant?
Amen. Let's just rejoice in the Lord, because our God does love us, and great is the love
that
he loves
us
in Jesus Christ our Lord. For surely he loves us, because we are his children. Bless the Lord in each and everything as we rejoice in him. Hold to his word as we hold to his wonderful and glorious promises.
Acts 7 verse 51 to 53 says,
amen.
You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you always do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did so.
Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that your
which
hand
of the
is
prophets
upon us, and that blesses us as we go forward in you, rejoicing in you, Lord,
persecuted.
You have taken the time
and they have
to help
them,
us,
Lord,
and to care for us
before the coming of the just one,
and
of whom he is now
the betrayed, here with us,
betrayers and murderers,
we just thank you,
who have received the law of the dispensation of angels and have not kept it.
Amen.
Don't be like them. When they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. You don't want to get angry, God angry. I remember the preacher that preached. He says, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he preached in such a way that the people thought that
place
in the building they were in was going to open up and swallow them right into hell, and they were hanging onto the pillars, and they were literally hanging on, and they were so terrified and so
blessed them and blessed their hands,
afraid that God was
going
to wipe them off
the
face of the earth.
Lord, from their heart to you, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you.
We sit as Christians,
amen. Praise God,
and we don't even flinch anymore at anything. You believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want.
Let
it
had
be
a little bit of an accident here earlier there.
Nine,
I had some water. Spilled the glass with water in it. So.
Well,
hopefully
I
everything's
turned
about
too wet. My life and what I need
my Bible, I'll just reach on over
it's
here
important.
And get it. But
anybody this morning
it's
that can share what God's blessed with,
us.
Done for them,
and
we
imagine
can rejoice and share with others,
saints
anybody's this
in
morning?
The hands of an angry God.
And
just
oh,
think of yourself in his hands. And he says, you know what?
Well. I can
just have to share a few things with you.
Anytime.
I let you just mention you earlier that we were in Thunder Bay, and we stopped in. We visited some of the people that used to come to church.
And
got to visit a few brothers and sisters in Christ.
Stone Cold Dead.
And
the earth all up
to see family and relatives.
Nathan and the Byron.
All right.
Opened them up right before Moses, and they went down. They were gone.
Having a very hard time. And
he was dealing with his
people. Doesn't matter what community or what place.
He says, I
there's no pleasure in people's suffering and no pleasure in people's misfortunes.
We are walking with a God.
But
who could
if we don't
judgment, I think we better
really reach out to the Lord,
we
you
really
don't
want to
come
anything,
to the place.
You
know what?
No,
no matter what we look around here today, we can lose it all.
Whole, I hope we.
And then what do you do?
Have not.
One thing you can't lose is
turn
Christ.
It around, or
you can't lose
Lord
his blessing. Judgment,
and
you can't lose his promises.
Come may come.
So
because I know it's going to
just keep in prayer for those people that are going through the struggles in that.
What we need.
And also for the Lord to direct us.
Father, we do thank you for your word, your truth, and your light.
Blessed to each and every heart as we go forward in you,
as we walk
we
according
to
your
word,
Lord, Toronto
and
each and every heart,
son
and realize
there
and receive
back to Russia and
that instruction
in prayer.
And obey it.
We also got
Lord, we know that trusting and obeying you
south
is the best important
Nancy
thing.
Nancy and all them,
and Jonathan and
others
all
can
the
do.
Rest,
and
we know
so many of them, and
Darius
and them
out
in Hawaii. It seems like everybody just scatters everywhere. But praise God that God's hands upon us, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, and how he's going to bless us and help us. And his hand is always upon us, and not for good. Well, people don't realize it, but his hand is upon us for good. Amen. So I think in the way of all that is going on, I think that's pretty much all. And the Lord directing us in things that are coming about, and I don't know how fast they're going to come, but they are coming. So keep your hearts and eyes open for what the Lord is going to be doing in the short future. And it's kind of like the children of Israel going through the promised land. They abode in one place for a certain length of time, and they abode in the next place for a certain length of time. It's never how long you're in a place. It's a question of why you're there and the purpose of it. Now, if you will turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The Lord put this on my heart, and I kind of preach about this, and sometimes I feel like I'm a doom and gloom preacher. But we always got to be well informed of the things that are coming and the things that are happening, I believe. And a lot of times people say, oh, there's a move of God coming, but you know what? After the move of God, there's something else coming. Or sure judgment to a place. And we as a people of God always have to pay attention to things that are happening around us. And we have to pay attention to the Spirit of God and what is coming about. And it's kind of like when we just don't happen to notice that something's happening or imminent danger that could be coming. Now, we will look on the news and we look at all the things out there, and we always see, we turn on the Weather Channel. Weather is a storm coming, so we all get ready for it. And people get on there that in the business world and says, well, you know, things are not looking economically good. So people kind of pay attention. But there's always the people who figure that, it's not so bad and everything's going to be okay, and really don't have to listen and don't have to pay attention to what's coming. And I honestly believe that if we don't pay attention to the signs that the Lord gives us and the warnings, that we could end up in a lot of trouble. Because his signs and his warnings and what he tells us is very important to pay attention to. It's kind of like Noah when he was a preacher of righteousness and they were watching him build his ark. This was not something that was hid. You couldn't hide the size of this boat on the dry land. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And even Jonah, when he preached, he says, Nineveh will be destroyed in so many days. And the people took to heart what it was being told, and they repented. And we saw the mercy and the kindness of God, even inspired us. He's a merciful God. He loves nothing better to bless us and to help us. But the peoples of Noah's day were there eating and drinking and giving to marriage and carrying on with life until the flood came. And all of a sudden it just
washed them all away. It's kind of like what we see today. We see all kinds of things happening, but we figure life will go on and life will be the same as it is. Not always so. Things change. You change. You're not like this. You'll be like this today, but tomorrow you'll be different. If you look back, are you still that little child that used to run around and play in the parks and play playhouse and with dolls, or the boys would play with little cars and everything, and we would play and all that, and we would do whatever. In your teenage years, and you look at your years now, you find that you've changed, you've grown. Changes will happen. But it's not changes I'm going to talk about. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14 to 16, it says this: Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. No remedy. Now, what I found unique is that, well, this is talking about people in the Old Testament. You want to know something? The future is the past, and your past is your future. It's perfect. You got 20/20 vision of there backward and frontward. Because majority of the times people do the same thing and they do it all over again. We've never learned from our mistakes. The Church of Jesus Christ, going in the wilderness, did the same mistakes, ended up with the same problems. They go full circle. The world itself. Don't worry about the people running on camels and horses. We've done the same thing and we ended up in the same problem. What we are seeing today is back in the 1930s. The way the world is going and the way the world is happening. History repeats itself. So actually your past is your future and your future is your past. It's how I kind of look at it. People might argue with me about it, but we are suckers for punishment and we never learn. We never learn. What we're doing today, the Roman Empire did. Babylon did. And actually, they were doing the same thing what they did before the flood. And I could rest my case and say our past is our future and the future is our past, but that's not what I'm going to talk about either. You never know what I'm going to talk about. But I look around and I see this. The moral of the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. In other words, the people of God started doing the same thing as the heathen. And the leaders were doing it too. It wasn't just the people. You know, if the shepherd leads them astray, the sheep follow. And I always believe that the chief priests are going wrong, or the leaders are going wrong, the rest follow. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending, because he had compassion on his people. In other words, God keeps sending them and sending them and sending them. But what they do is keep on what? Mocking them. Despising them. Misusing them. Until God says, I've had enough. You ever see where children are playing? Mother is very patient. Until they push her to the limits. Now, I've seen patient people, and there's one lady who just comes to mind, who kind of pretty much puts up with an awful lot with her kids, but eventually she gets upset, turns around, and spanks her child when she gets pushed to the limits, or till she finally says, something's got to be done. And I believe that God deals with us as children in the same way. But he always says and he always tells us, I am coming and I'm going to spank you. And you say, I don't think you will. And you push it to the limits. Have you ever pushed somebody to the limits? Well,
I look around, and this is what I see. I look around the information highway. I look around and I see so many things coming down the line and so many things happening. I also see remedies. And I see in the world of medicine, sicknesses, there's a remedy for everything that is out there. Whether they work or not really is no real concern, or argue. I wouldn't go into the argument about it, because whether they do or not. But what I do find is, he says at the very end of the verse, till there was no remedy. So I believe that the messengers that God was sending were bringing remedies. In other words, solutions to the problems to which we were into. In other words, we were getting ourselves into trouble, and God kept sending these people to them and kept saying, this is what you ought to be doing. Now, I see in the information channels there, you get on there and you get the things there where the fellow is saying, well, this is what you should be doing to take better care of yourself. This is what you should be doing to prosper financially. This is what you should be doing, and this is what you should be doing, and this is what you should be doing. So you pretty much take it along there and you say yes to this and no to that, and yes to this and no to that. And pretty much that's how it all goes down the whole line. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, are full of answers. And we got solutions and remedies for anything and everything. Whatever ails you, we have an answer for it. Don't we? Yes, if I come and ask you something, you're going to give me an answer. Some kind of sums it all up. Jesus is the answer. I like those ones because they just, really quick, Jesus is the answer. Whatever you got, Jesus is the answer. Well, okay, Jesus is the answer, but what answer does he give you? And that's what you got to know. I really find those people quite unique. We are really quick to give an answer to advice to anybody who hears us. We've got a remedy for sickness. We have a remedy for matters of the heart, for difficult people, for those who are in bondage and those who were in financial trouble. We've got an answer because we're the church. I think we've got more remedies than the health gurus got. You really think about it, we got more solutions and more ways than the weight loss advisors got. Whether our advice is good or not, and our remedies work or not, could be a concern. But we who are born again Christians are to have an answer to the world. We do have a remedy for all of life's problems. God's word is a remedy and shows us everything that's in there to meet our needs and help us. Whether we be financial trouble, matters of the heart, family, sicknesses, things that are happening in eternity, everything is there. The Bible tells us we should be ready to give an answer. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says this. But it's not what I'm really going to get into, but we're going to kind of talk about this a little. Because why? Well, the children of God decided to do things and they got themselves in trouble. They started doing like the heathen did and they polluted the temple of the Lord. In other words, they polluted the things of which they were doing. God in his infinite wisdom sent messengers and saying, I want you out of this and this is what I want you to do. And we, the people of God, in our so finite minds and such intellect think that we know better than God, know better than the people that God would send, so we decide this is what we'll do. Because we are the church, and we are to have an answer to everybody and everything. But we do not look in our lives, and neither do we look in our doorstep to see what are we doing. Is it befitting and pleasing God? 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Oh, I've seen so many people that go there and say something, you ask them something, and oh, they're so quick to tell you. You know what? We are a church of advisors.
but we do not like advice. We do not like anybody telling us anything. We think we know it all. And we think we're so smart. And we think we're so perfect. I'm talking as a church as a whole. We've got an attitude. And we've got an attitude problem. Some people of God think they know more than God. And they're less likely to accept or listen. We like to give advice, but we do not like to take advice. I think that's kind of how it works. You like to be the giver, not the taker. Especially when somebody's telling you something that you need to know and you need to do, and the preacher's preaching something about something and you just don't think you should just get advice about, and you should, why are you telling me something that I know much better than you? And I know this and I know that. Well, I find out you know nothing. So this is also found amongst believers in Jesus Christ. They don't always believe everything in the Bible. Although they're the greatest advisors of the Bible, they don't believe everything in there. And they don't listen to everything in there. They don't always take the advice it gives. Nor accept the revenue that is given to them for their needs. If we take the example of faith, I could take you all the way down and I could show you what I mean. The Bible says we cannot please God but by faith. The principle of the law of faith stands there to us. But yet we try to please God every other way but by faith. Was this accepted? Well, I say back in Martin Luther's day when the man preached, "The just shall live by faith," oh, there's so many came. But after a while, where are we today? We're still battling the same thing of back then that we are today. Some are walking in faith and some are walking in works. We so often do not take the remedy that is offered for us to receive. We do not realize that the Lord, when He sends a messenger with a remedy for the situation of what is coming upon him. They have a message to tell His God's people about something they need to know. When we're given something from the Lord, what we do is we turn around and, like some people, they like playing with the prescription. Doctor said take 2 pills a day, you take 3. Or you take 1. Or you decide to regulate what you shall do. Well, I'm not going to get into the boat what you should be doing with a doctor and all that, because that's not what it's all about. But when the Lord gives us things, we change it, we add to it, we take from it, we subtract it, and we do it the fit way we want. To the point we wonder, why is God not doing for me what He says He should be doing? But we never look at what we're doing. Are we doing it right? And I always use the cake recipe. And on the back of the box it says, this is how you make this cake. And a lot of you ladies know that you must follow the recipe. I also know I don't bake, but I also know if I'm going to put something together, they give me a blueprint or a follow thing, and I would get frustrated, mad, and angry, but I have to follow it because that's the only way it's going to come together. Mm-hmm. And if I change anything or do anything, I'm either going to have things left over, or it's not going to look quite the same as it did. Did you ever do something like that? Put something together and look at it and say, oh, it don't look like it was supposed to? You ever bake something that kind of says, it doesn't look like that picture? I know what they do. It's plastic. And you'll never look like that thing that shows up in the picture. It's got to be, right? No. Mm-hmm. Or the people that engineered or put things together decided
to make such a plan. And I said, wait, how I put things together is only to confuse you and drive you off the deep end, because actually at the end, they know they're connected with psychiatrists, and they'll get 10% for everybody that comes with a problem. That's how we somehow think. In James chapter 4, it says this. I have so many times people come to me and say, why when I believe and all these things, I never receive? Why do I pray and nothing ever happens? And why do I do this, and why do all these things go on, and yet it doesn't come to pass? James 4 verse 3 says this, and ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. We are the great advisors of the world. Problem is, our advice, a lot of times, is garbage. And the reason why I say that is because it's built on a lot of stuff that's not good. You see, we're given faith, and you know what we do with faith? We start believing for things that are out of the will of God. We ask for things that are contrary to His Word, even for lustful purposes. You see, the children of Israel, when they're in the wilderness, weren't satisfied just with manna. They wanted something else. So God gave them something else till it came out of their ears and their nostrils. They had chicken. And they had chicken. They had pheasant. I just call them chicken. But they had it till it came right out. And the wrath of God destroyed them. Because of why? Because they sinned for asking for things they ought not to be asking for. Why do I say that? A lot of us are using our faith for the wrong purpose. A lot of us are using it for material and wealth gains and figuring that's the way God blesses us. Yes, God will bless you. Yes, God can make you wealthy. But if that's the whole purpose of your faith, is for God to what? Have miracles in turning not water into wine, but rocks into gold. When you stand there and you see leaders saying, oh yes, pray the blessings. Oh yes, pray the blessings. What are you, in a slot machine? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. We must pray according to the will of God and believe according to the will of God and receive according to the will of God. First John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The Lord Jesus sends messengers to bless His people and bring health and cures. One great health is faith. It's a beautiful health, and it's a beautiful cure. But why would you use a wonderful thing like that to get ill-gotten gains? Or use it for the wrong purposes? I think back at Martin Luther, who was a messenger in that church age, bringing back the doctrine of faith. And how it blessed the hearts that received. But I wonder, what did we do with it today? We turn it on the TV set, and we get circus acts with our faith. To the point, the beguiled soul is wondering why God isn't blessing him with his new Mercedes-Benz or his Cadillac. The great messenger is that the Lord brought back so many great truths, healing, deliverance, spiritual gifts, and their proper use. Men like William Branham, old Brother Leonard, in our day, God says, I will bring you health and I will bring you cure.
I would bring you deliverance. I would bring you power and authority. And we sit down, oh, this is wonderful, this is great. Is not that what the Lord did for us today? Yet we see there is a serious problem in the church today. Say, oh, you can't be talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, who church do I think I'm talking about? We do not see our condition. And we do not see the signs and the warning things to us telling us there is something going wrong. And if you don't pay attention to it, it's kind of like the wife saying to the husband, there's a red light. There's a red light. There's a red light while he's smashing into something. And she says, I told you three times. This happened to me with my wife. I know that. Sometimes I don't pay attention. I'm not listening. Now, that is something we can just avoid and pay attention to. But here's the Spirit of God. And it is sending the warning signs and sending the warning signs and saying, my children, my children, my children, this is what you ought to be doing. I've sent you health. I've sent you cures. What are you doing with them? Lord, we've invested. We're making money. Making good money. Look what we got. We are coming into a collision course with the Lord. He is not pleased. Now, this is where some people might have controversy with me. But bear me up. He is not pleased with the way we're going and what we're doing with His Word. We've left Him. Have we? A lot of these churches say no. Well, I beg to differ. And I'll put my argument with your argument. You say not so, and that God is pleased with what you're doing. Okay. We despise His messengers. When I first got saved, I fought the very things that I walk in today, only to find out they were the truth. We will not accept sound doctrine, which is our remedies for health, cure, and prosperity. The messengers that brought in these things. Turn me to Revelation chapter 3, and I will show you what the Lord says about His church and what He thinks. Turn me to Revelations chapter 13. Chapter 3. I'm falling apart here. I do apologize. I had a cell phone on, and I just, instead of going there and shutting it off, then it makes a little tune. I just pull the battery and doesn't do anything. But I was doing that, then the mic thing fell out. So we're all reconnected. Watch this. This is the church last stage, last day church, the seventh stage of the church ages. This is what the Bible says, not what I say. If God is well pleased with His people, it should say this here. Mm-hmm. And if He's well pleased with the churches today, it should say so. Mm-hmm. It should say so. I believe it should say, I love the way you're going. I love what you're doing. Just keep it up. Mm-hmm. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these sayings, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. But you don't understand, brother. We're on fire for Jesus. We're burning up. Oh, you just see the flame just coming out of our eyes. Just sparks flying. What do they say? I'm just burning for the Lord. I'm just desiring to get on there. I really want. I got a really heart for the Lord. Oh, okay. I know you do. I know you're hot. But eating chili peppers is not making you hot. or sitting on hot coals doesn't make you on fire for Jesus.
Verse 15,
I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Sounds like a really good, smart people doing some really good things. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The churches today are the richest that they've ever been financially. They are very wealthy. When preachers can go flying around with airplanes, their own private jets, they're doing pretty good. You know what it costs to run a jet? To have a pilot? You just can't go fly the plane yourself unless you have a pilot's license. And they fly all over the world. I have no problem with that. But we are very rich. And we say, because thou sayest, I am rich. You know what a rich man does? He gets arrogant. Not all of them, but some of them do. Majority of them do. They happen to think, I'm privileged. I'm above. And I need nothing. I don't have to say, silver and gold have I none. I've got lots. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Why do I say churches? For simple reason, it means plural. A lot of churches have an arrogant attitude. And they're thinking that because they have all these things going on, that they are the it church. And that they're doing really well. And the Bible is, the Lord's telling them, you are poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Now how can that be so? When you have so much, you look pretty good clothed. There's something to do with it spiritually. The church is at a place where if we do not make some serious changes in our lives, the Lord is going to spew us out of his mouth. All that we see in front of us and say, well, can it happen? Don't ever kid yourself. In the 1920s, everything was going great. 1929, there was a stock market crash. They could not keep up with the bodies that were jumping out of buildings because people were killing themselves because they lost everything. People today cannot handle the things that are happening, and a lot of them are doing whatever. Things will get bad. Things are not that bad. You're not being chased down the road by somebody trying to kill you. We're still in idolatry, worshiping more than one God. And following spirits that are not from the Lord Jesus. We're not listening to the Lord. Say, how can that be so? If we look at the last 8 verses of Revelation chapter 3, it gives you the condition of the church of Christ, his people. We're giving heed to seducing spirits and are turning our hearts away from the Lord and our doctrines. Like the lady said yesterday, she says, I used to worship the Trinity, the three gods, three persons and one God. Thank God there's only one of you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this.
You know what? We want to hear everything is sweet and rosy. You know what we want to hear? Somebody come up and say, you know what? You're just doing great and you're just the best. That was we as Christians love to hear. We don't want to hear anything that says contrary. We want to walk in a smoke. In other words, things that are kind of not really clear. We've got rose-colored glasses. Everything looks rosy. And everything is like so. You ever walk in the imagination of your own mind? I have. You ever thought you were really something in which you were really nothing? Only to find out you've been wrong? You know, the Bible always says pride comes before a fall. You know what a lot of Christians' problem is? They're too proud to bow before God anymore. How dare to think that they were something wrong? We know it all. I've been studying for 40 years. I know everything. You can see it in their eyes. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who? People of God. How do we know? Well, it shows us at the very end of the church age that we're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. So what do we do? We've been giving to spirits. We've been in idolatry. One thing I found out, we can only keep resisting the Lord and those whom He sends for so long, and then it comes to a head. It's the same thing as when a parent tells their child, I am coming into this room, and if you don't stop it, you're going to get it. And you hear a louder voice saying, if you don't stop it, I'm coming in, but no. The kids go at each other until someone's crying or somebody's hurt. Well, what happens is the Lord sends a messenger, and what they do is they abuse him, they despise him, they mock him, and they do everything to him. And he comes back to the Lord, and the Lord says, and well, my son, how did it go? Oh, it went really good. We had a really great time. No, he's going to start crying before the Lord. Lord, they despised, they threw me, they did this and that. And why should I even bother talking to these people anymore, Lord? I am fed up. You read Ezekiel. Read Jeremiah. Jeremiah got to the point, he said, I will not say a word to anybody. I won't say anything. I won't do anything. Why? Well, the people of God beat him up, gave him a hard time. But it all comes to a head and it comes to an end when the Lord says, you know what, I am fed up with this. It's kind of like when he sent his son. What did they do to him? Surely they'll give reverence to my son. No. The first thing they thought is, how do we get rid of this fellow? Their whole goal, all the time that Jesus was on the face of the earth, was how to get rid of him. And when they figured they finally got rid of him, they found out the plan was foiled. And what was happening was all in God's plan. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Well, I kind of put it like this. The Lord pronounces judgment upon a place or a people when they will not listen and obey till he says there is no more listening. In other words, they will no more remedy. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, you won't listen. Now comes my decision, my judgment, my punishment. That's what's going to happen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first must begin at us. What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I look around. I see the land becoming an upheaval. I see the sickness of the world starting to show. I see the people of God not doing very good. They thought they say they are, but when you really come down to it, why do I say that? Why do I keep looking for that? No, I don't keep looking for that. But we have to face things as they are.
It's like the blind man says, I can see, I can see. And he walks in the wall or falls off a cliff. Well, I guess you didn't see very good, did you? But the people of God don't seem to care and do not take to heed what is going on around them. Jesus is coming soon, and they're all rubbing their hands. We're waiting for the rapture. Whoopity-woo, whoopity-woo, whoopity-woo. And you know what? They do not see the judgment that is coming upon them. We're so gleefully happy that God's going to wipe the wicked. Oh, he's going to give it to them good. He's going to burn them. Oh, he's going to nuclearize them. Oh, yeah. All those Christ haters. And we do not see what we're doing wrong. We all think that we're so perfect. We all think that we're so good. We all think that, oh, God just loves us, loves us, loves us, loves us, and he loves us. Oh, he loves us. He loves us with a passion. But you want to know something? He does not love what we do. And he's not happy. So how can that be? He says that in Revelations chapter 3. He is not happy. He is put out. He is not allowed to come into his churches. Second Chronicles chapter 7. We are a stiff-necked people. We are a people who are very stiff-necked. Are we taping this at the same time? Audacity? Yeah. Thank you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 is of my people which are called by my name. Never mind the unsaved. His people. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You know, we look in that Old Testament. Oh, what a wonderful testimony of how God dealt with all those bad little people. But we are just so good. Oh, we're just so good. I am just so good. Oh, we got an answer for everybody and everything. And we're just good. Oh, we're just goody-two-shoes. We couldn't do no wrong, even if we did wrong. Huh? That's our attitude. What have we done? Well, we've taken his word and changed it. It's easily seized by the Bible versions which we have now today. We subtract God's word and add to it and multiply it and as we see this way it fits us, so it benefits our doctrines. How often the messengers that cry out against this is ridiculed, shunned, and branded as evil. Mocked and despised. Showing that it's wrong. Yet the leaders keep on doing it. I say the leaders, because it's a leader who says, you know what, this is wrong, we ought not to be doing it, and everybody should follow it. But what are they doing? They're into it just as deep. We've turned our worship into pagan and Baal-style ways. Devils running rampant in churches, in church meetings. Supernatural occurrences, but not from the Lord. Yet, they accept it as of God. Yet none take it to heart. You don't have to turn here, but I'll just read this. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 14. Moreover, all the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen. Bible says we're to be in the world, not part of it. What place does have the worship of Baal with the worship of God? And polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. When the Lord sends those bringing truth and light, they are railroaded out and labeled as the devil. And ever so many times. When spiritual gifts are brought to the church, they come out with their own gifts. What's your gift? I don't know. What's your gift? I don't know. What's your gift? How about the gifts that Christ gave us? Their own way of salvation. Their own way of worship. Their own way of doctrines, their own miracles, their own signs, and their own wonders. Isaiah chapter 4 says this. Please turn in there. I'd like you to see this one. Notice women in the Bible picture. Churches, yes. Maybe you can see this one. Isaiah 4, verse 1 says this, "In that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Kind of like the seven church ages, isn't it? Jesus said, "You poor, miserable, blind, naked." But you couldn't see past the end of your nose. Matter of fact, you can't even see the nose that's on your face. That's how blind you are. You're blind as an old blind Bartimaeus. And who is blind as a bat? Even bats have radar. We don't even have that. We are in a day, and we are in that day. Or are we so blind to see it? You look at the last church age in Revelation, you'll see what I mean. And they like it that way. They like it that way. Jeremiah 5. What you will find that is you have to make changes and adjustments as you walk with Christ. Don't be so set in your ways you think you know everything. Is there a problem there? Is it not showing?
It says we're connected, but then you go to the remoteness, so it's telling us it's not in service.
Go back onto the E Explorer.
No, what he wants to do is take it off of that one, go on the other one.
Go on the other one. Jeremiah 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? Prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. In other words, a lot of them like what's going on, what's taking place, because I believe the future is our past and the past is our future. So what they're doing back in the Old Testament is the same thing what they'll do in the New Testament. We are no different. Why? Well, human nature never really changes very much. If you don't think so, you're a sinner back then, you're a sinner today, and guess what? Given the same opportunities, you'll do the same thing wrong. They don't want to turn. There's many that don't. Unless something real drastic happens that makes them change and makes them turn and sets them back. The way life is right now, you will not make any adjustments. But if something happens to affect you personally, you will do something to adjust for what happens to you. If I took everything away from you right here, right now, then you would change your lifestyle like that. You'd have to, or you die. Why do I say that? We as the Church of Christ have to make our adjustments, and we got to make them fast. I think it's too late. I think we're getting a judgment. How do I know this? Well, there's a revival coming. But before a revival comes, do you not know what happens? Do you not realize that the Great Depression brought on one of the greatest revivals? Because you know what? When I get in my car and I get in my home and I get in everything, I got all this, I'm comfortable. I'm in my comfort zone. I'm happy. When that's all stripped from me and I'm there standing all alone and I have nothing else but my good old knees and my heart, you'd be surprised how fast you cry out unto God for help. Or if there's a sickness that comes upon you that the doctor says there's no hope for you, you'd be surprised how fast you will get on your knees before God and cry out for help. Hopefully you will. Some people don't. I believe that the Lord can only be pushed so far. And I believe as a church of Christ, I'm talking as a church of Christ as a whole, there's a lot of believers, there's believers out there that are not like that. God knows how to spare and separate it, just like he did with Caleb and Joshua. He says, these two whose hearts had another spirit, and these ones who discouraged and did that, these are the ones that are going to receive it. And then he says, I've had enough. And when God says he had enough, look out. If you don't think so, when he had enough with the Jews after Christ, he gave them a 2,000-year judgment. Isaiah 5. Because God is fair and he is just in what he says and what